This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Look, I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to be all right with it, yeah. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. I'm just trying to spend the night with it, yeah. I just want to be all right with it, yeah.
I wanted to record a bonus episode for you guys this week with Matt, but unfortunately scheduling didn't allow for that. But I did promise you guys a bonus episode at the end of this week's main episode, so I got to deliver on that. And there are a couple things I did want to touch on, and we'll keep it quick. One, the Celtics versus the Bucks, obviously a big game, and we didn't really get to focus much on the Celtics last episode. Obviously, we try to do that at the beginning of each show. And look, there were some good things. Obviously, they came back, lost by, I think it was, what, five. That's all good and well. But there were some, I mean, you can't keep starting slow in the first, in these games like the Celtics have throughout the majority of the season. And when you're going against the Bucks, you look, not having Jaylen Brown, absolutely important. I think we saw some of that throughout the course of the game, especially in the first half when he's kind of, when he's on, he's providing that first half jolt where Tatum usually takes a while to get going. Kemba is, sometimes it's the first half, sometimes it's the second half. Obviously, in this game, scored 40, and it was balanced throughout pretty much. I mean, 24 in the second quarter, obviously a little bit heavier there. But my guy that I'm having a problem with most in all this is Gordon Hayward. Whenever I write about, you know, they play a lesser opponent and Gordon Hayward does well, usually it's come off of injuries or whatever. It's like a rough stretch. And then you go play against a bad team and you do well. I know everybody wants to say, oh, that's what you're supposed to do against the bad teams and it doesn't mean anything. Yes, that is what you're supposed to do against the bad teams. At the same time, if it's a guy who's slumping, I know full well that can get him going in the right direction. It's like anything else, when you have a shooter who's not shooting well, then they go to the free throw line, they see a shot go down, they get their rhythm, whatever. It's kind of along the same lines. And again, you can call it momentum, you can call it confidence, whatever, that's fine. But those are supposed to help. But when you go and play well against them, and then you play Philly and do nothing, and then you play the Bucks and do nothing. And look, I get numbers are not the end-all be-all, but Hayward has to score. And when he goes 1-for-10 in a game like that where you have no Jaylen Brown, I'm sorry, that's a problem. That's concerning. And I know on Dale and Keefe the other day, Keefe asked me, would you trade Hayward for Andre Drummond? No, I wouldn't trade Hayward. Obviously, I wouldn't trade him in general. I'm sure there are some deals out there where I would, but in general, I wouldn't. But I will say, when it's happened now twice with him, where he's had these big games lately and he's not stepped up, it's what's going on, Gordon? How are you not making a difference, really, at the end of things? Yeah, the defense, there were some moments that's good, but offensively, you got to step up. And if Tatum comes out and he's what, he was 8-for-20 by the end of the night. So, I mean, like, that's fine. But, I mean, Hayward 1-for-9 from three. And why aren't you attacking the basket like you normally do? That's the other thing. When he's on, he's slashing and takes a few three-pointers throughout the course of the game. He's not like most guys in the league now. So that was an issue. At the same time, Marcus Smart is clearly moving in the right direction with his scoring. Obviously, he had that rough stretch when he was all banged up, and then once he came back after the eye infection, he looked pretty much just as bad as he had before, right before the eye infection. I think with Smart, he wants it, and he's going to go get it. And especially when other guys aren't doing what needs to be done, you don't have Jaylen Brown, Hayward's not stepping up, and Tatum is playing fine, but not what you necessarily expect. And I know he's doing well defensively, and the rebounding was there. But when you're playing the Bucks, you have to do a little bit extra, especially on the offensive end, especially without Jaylen Brown. Smart's the guy who's stepping forward. He did the same thing against Philly too. So as much as, you know, I'm not always comfortable with him taking as many shots as he is, and I definitely don't like the idea of him taking a shot at the end of the game like that. He went 5 for 10 from three. Like, he's doing a lot of the right things. So if no one else is going to do it, you can't just expect Smart to sit back and idly and just let the game go away. Like, that's the one thing that you got to give him, is he's not going to let the Celtics go down without at least trying to put up a fight on his own. But, I mean, the biggest issue, I think, is just, again, the first half, if you can't, like, I hear all the time, right? We hear all the time, the shots just weren't falling. You hear from Brad, you hear from the players, whatever. And you don't just hear from the Celtics. It happens everywhere. And I get that. That is definitely a thing. I understand it with the way guys approach things. But if the shots aren't falling and you're not going to try and attack the rim more, which I would think that would be the resolution offensively, your defense has to make up for it. And a team that prides itself on its defense, how the hell are you going to let up 28 points in the first half when you haven't done that in a game all season long? I get it. They have Giannis. That makes a huge difference, no doubt. But you've played Giannis already this year. I know it was a different point in the season, but you've played him already. He didn't do that. They didn't do that over the course of a full game. Never mind one half. 28 fast break points. That is bananas for a team that's one of the best at denying that. So that's a problem. And then on top of that, in the half-court offense, the Bucks were out of their minds in the first half. Now, what, they went like 11 for 12 to start the game? That's ridiculous, okay? But there were some shots that were contested, but there were quite a few that weren't. And if you're the Celtics, where your calling card is perimeter defense, not your interior defense, I mean, that can't happen. I know George Hill and a few other guys were like, George Hill's out of his mind this year. He's shooting like over 50% from three. George Hill was on that Bucks. I'm sorry, Bucks. The Pacers team with Paul George that put up a fight against LeBron James and everything. So I'm always going to respect George Hill. But he's on a totally another level this year. But either way, there were too many quality looks along the perimeter, and it's just unacceptable. You cannot let that happen if you're the Celtics, and especially if your shooting is not there. If you cannot go blow for blow with them, then you have to make an extra effort on the other end of the floor to make sure that the gap isn't 18 points by halftime. Because then, I don't know, maybe you win that game if it's, even if it was, if you cut it to 10, then yes, I understand the math doesn't add up, but you approach things differently at the end of the game if it's, if you're tied, if the Bucks might get tighter, whatever. If it's a 10-point game at halftime or a 12-point game at halftime, like, that makes a difference. So it's just, actually, if it was a 10 or 12-point game, then yeah, on the math alone, then the Celtics would have won that game. So it's just the first half, 76 points. I get it. The Bucks are good and Giannis, and you have to have a superstar, blah, 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 blah. That's a winnable game for the Celtics, and they can hang with the Bucks. I firmly believe that. Their offense off the bench is clearly an issue. And I know I wrote about the, and I wrote more about this, all the stuff I'm talking about on EI.com, but it's a lot, I'm hitting on a lot of the same points that I wrote about, just kind of trying to expand on it a little more. But with the bench scoring too, that's another problem that I think has become more significant of an issue than I realized that it was going to be at the beginning of the year. So look, when Marcus Smart's coming off the bench, he scores. When Cantor, 9 points out of him, it's fine. Like, you can't expect him to go and score double digits every single night. The real issue is when one of the starters is hurt and Smart has to play, you don't have another scorer off the bench. Ideally, to me, like, that's not, Marcus Smart's not your top scorer off the bench either. And really, the more the issue is, you don't have another perimeter threat coming off the bench. Carson Edwards, I don't know how seriously Brad Stevens thought he was going to be that, but it looked like Carson Edwards was going to be that. And Thursday, he's playing up in Maine. And it's not like the Celtics are doing anything wrong. It's Carson Edwards, that's where he needs to be right now. And because he went 0 for 6 from 3. So he's struggling. You can't use Tremont Waters a ton right now because he's got his limited days and everything. And after that, it's Shemmy, who's gotten better, but I mean, he's still not there. And Grant Williams, who's gotten better, but he's still not there. Wanamaker, I mean, he clanged one last night. That was, but that's kind of a point. It's just and I think that's why when we see the names that the Celtics are linked to, which is what I was getting to that they wrote about, it looked like they're going after a stretch four when they look at Bertans, when they look at Danilo Gallinari. I know Drummond's in there too, but clearly it's a little bit different with the other two. There's a theme. And I would imagine if they're going to make a move or pick someone up if they pick guys up off the, not the waiver wire, the buyout market, off the buyout market, they're going to look for a guy who can help stretch the floor, I would think. Doesn't necessarily need to be a big-time scorer or someone who's going to go and get 10 a game, but someone who could be good for 2-3-pointers a night, maybe shoot 30. If they can shoot league average, then all right, then we're in business. I think that's what the Celtics need right now. I think that's the one thing that would make – and maybe Tremont Waters can help with that when he comes somewhere down the line, but I just don't know that that's going to be – or maybe Carson Edwards – you know, maybe that's what they're trying to get him back to up in Maine. But that's that one addition that they're missing at this stage in the game. Now, two other non-Celtics things. One kind of Celtics related. But first, Ja Morant. Obviously, you guys know that on Five Out, we are big fans of him because he just is he's electric. He's one of the most entertaining players in the game right now. And he was up for being in the dunk contest. Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports reported on Thursday that Morant is not going to play or not going to participate in the dunk contest. And I just want to get a quick thought on that. I mean, it's the dunk contest was forever the ultimate all-star weekend event. Like, I get being an all-star is huge, but the real awesome event is the dunk contest. And when you can't get the big name guys, and I get it, Jaws in Memphis, he wasn't as big of a name as Zion or maybe even Barrett, I guess, depending on who you ask, coming out of college, just because Barrett was where he was at Duke and everything. But, I mean, I think that people are underestimating how well-known Ja Morant is now when I hear that, first of all. Second, I mean, As a player, I don't understand why a guy wouldn't want to do it. Like, I get it if you're playing, I don't know, if it's football and it's the Pro Bowl, I can understand why you wouldn't want to do it. But then again, there aren't concerns over injuries. With baseball, there's the home run derby, and I get that because that does impact guys' swings. But with the dunk contest, other than the fear of injury, I don't know, why aren't we doing it? And LeBron started that whole trend. He's the one that ruined it, and I have no problem blaming him on that because it's just, that is true. Guys look at it differently because of him. You haven't had the same superstar names because of him in the league because he doesn't want to do it. And I just don't understand what his deal is. And I feel like he's been asked it and I just can't recall what it is. But anyways, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. My point is that I wish Morant was doing it. Hopefully someday he does it because the kid's got springs and he's fun and I'm sure he can think of something creative because, I mean, you just watch him with the ball in his hands and dribbling alone. I mean, he's different. He's very different and I think he's great for the game and having him in the dunk contest would be too. Last thing, speaking of point guards and the Celtics, obviously Kyrie Irving made his remarks about his new teammates and I did touch on that with Dalen Keefe as well, but I just, for those who didn't hear that, you guys know that if you've been listening to the show since its inception, you know that I'm not a Kyrie basher. And I say basher is like it's unwarranted, but I mean, it's not, I do get it, but I've just refused to buy into like this whole, he is absolutely 100% a jerk. And there's no question about it. I haven't been able to get on board with that because I don't believe that anybody is 100% just a jerk. I mean, you look at Antonio Brown and what he's doing. I mean, yeah, there's something there off for sure. But like, you want to say he's a total jerk? Yeah, I can get behind that. But Kyrie's not doing that kind of stuff. So that's where it's like, my thought process is he wants to do it his way. And he thinks he can do it his way. And he's a little bit too smart for his own good. He's smarter than he thinks. He's smart, but he's not as smart as he thinks he is. Anyway, My point is, kind of when you boil it down and then you hear him make these comments, yeah, he is a jerk. I mean, you can't say that. You were out 26 games. You got guys trying to hold things together, keep fans invested in and interested. You have Joe Harris, who's asked to do more. Torian Prince, who's asked to do more. Jared Allen, who did good in the first half of those games, first stretch of those games, he struggled of late. I understand that. But those guys are all pulling their weight. And then you go and you mention like seven guys. And those three that I just mentioned, Torian Prince, Jared Allen, and Joe Harris, are not among that group. I'm sorry. That's messed up. I heard Anthony Puccio of Nets Daily, the SB Nation Nets site, was talking about it tonight on Twitter. And he said that there was like a Torian Prince Instagram post. He didn't see it, but he got word of it. I haven't seen it. I mean, I don't blame these guys for being pissed. Man, if that's my teammate, if I played with a guy who went and did what Kyrie did, I would not associate myself with, I would not talk to him more than I have to. And if that messes with team chemistry, then fine, trade me. But I'm sorry, like, I'm all about, you got to work with guys like who you don't get along with, who you don't like. I understand that. And I'm not saying you don't give your full effort and everything and try and win. And you work with that guy as much as you have to win and be successful. But if he's going to go and throw you under the bus like that, I mean, personally, like, if I, like, let's just say for right now, I'm Torian Prince and Theo Pinson, who also doesn't get mentioned it, but in fairness, a little bit of a different case. But if Theo Pinson says, hey, you want to go get food? I say, sure. But then the second I find, if Kyrie then is going to tag along and Joe Harris could be there too and Jared Allen, whatever, or, and whoever, DeAndre Jordan, the second Kyrie's there, I'm sorry, I'm not going. I'm out. I'm not going to go and say it's because Kyrie, but I wouldn't want to be there. Because what Kyrie did, because it's a little different than what he did to the Celtics. I argue this is worse, personally. And it may, for the Nets, not turn into as much of an issue because Kyrie has his whole crew there that he wants. But what he did to those guys was, you're not respecting them as a human being. To me, that's a guy who went and is guys who are trying to do more than they are normally asked to do. And then you just basically said to him, you know, you gave him a little pat on the head and said, you know, nice job, little boy. And now please get out of the way. Like, you're not good enough to be here. That's how I would. I'm not going to go and create a stink, but I'm not going to be around someone like that more than I have to be. This is just how, Torian Prince just got an extension with the Nets for two more years after this season. So I don't know how that works in terms of if they'd have to, when they can move him, they couldn't do it. I think you can't move him this year, but they could after this season. I mean, I don't know. If I'm Torian Prince, I might want to get moved. I mean, and Joe Harris doesn't necessarily have to sign an extension. I don't know if Kyrie could have left some of those guys out, but guess what? You don't mention people specifically either. Like, if you want to go on, if you're a Nets fan listening to this, you want to take that angle. If you're as smart as Kyrie is, you don't mention people specifically because then you don't run into this issue. It's that simple. But I'm not, like, that's enough on the Kyrie front. We will be talking to you guys next week. I think we're going to be out on Wednesday. Keep an eye out on Twitter. We always got Fennis Demo asking us. So we'll be tweeting that out for sure.
What it do, baby?
Yeah, you already know.
I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to be all right with it. Yeah, I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Yeah. I'm just trying to spend the night with it. Yeah, I just want to be all right with it. I'm just trying to see the light in it. I think we should take a ride with it. Hey, I got no resolutions. I'm just hoping for some.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.